What I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to make a bold statement, and I may or may not be accurate, but I just feel this way. So we'll just see how it goes. I believe that what I'm going to talk about today would help anybody to make 90% of any, maybe greater than 90% of any decision you would ever have to make. If you listen today, it's already made. Because I think a lot of times we really complicate things that we don't have to complicate. And it is the world, the flesh, and our devil. And a lot of times it's our flesh that is jumping up and screaming, no, it's not that simple. I think it's that simple. The problem is we're stubborn, we're self-centered, and we can't get off of it. So we make it hard. What I want to share with you is the next installment of this making great decisions. Talked about some foundational things last week. Well, this is kind of like foundations two. We're going to talk about three things that if we can get these three things right, we'll realize, I believe, that about 90 or greater than 90% of all our decisions are just really, we don't even have to fret with them. So, let's start again with our theme verse. It's from Proverbs 2, 1 through 11. It just establishes for us, just like the beginning of the book of Proverbs, that there's all this that God has for us. And all we have to do is submit and listen and apply. I think it's that simple sometimes. So he says, my child, listen to me and treasure my instructions. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and understanding. Search for them as you would for lost money or hidden treasure. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of good sense to the godly. You catch that? He grants a treasure of good sense to the godly. He is their shield, protecting those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of justice and protects those who are faithful to Him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will know how to find the right course of action every time. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise planning will watch over you, and understanding will keep you safe. Now that's where we want to be. Stay between the lines. The lines are your friend. The lines are there for a reason. Okay? And we're not talking about the man-made lines. We're talking about the God-ordained lines, which is very important. All right. So where are we going to go? First of all, today we are going to talk about square one, foundation, important point. We touched on it last week. We're going to go there really strongly this week. And that is the first element that we've got to get right and we've got to understand about making great decisions is that you have and I have a Christ-like character, and that Christ-like character is our decision filter. If we understand the filter and we get the filter moving in the right direction, we are going to make better and better decisions. In fact, what I believe you're going to find out is if you and I have a Christ-like character that is growing, that is submitted to God, that's doing what God tells us to do, that's honoring God, that's growing in righteousness and holiness and humility and patience and all those things, all those decisions are already, many of those decisions are already made. They're already made. They're already done. So let's look at a few things. To begin with, throughout your life, you and I have been essentially developing this filter, building this filter, cooperating in the process of this filter coming about. And the decision that you would make when faced with a decision today is not, if we're honest, not necessarily the same decision that you would make 5 years ago. Maybe not a week ago. Certainly not 15 years ago. And that's because your filter's changed. You've changed. Hopefully you've become more like Jesus. So the way you would deal with the decision would be different. So here's some factors we've got to acknowledge that are a part of this. Okay? The first factor is you and I were born with certain things. One of them is genetics. Okay? You're who you are. You had two parents. You came from them. And there are certain things that you and I have that are givens that we can't do anything about. I'm not going to be 5'10". Ain't going to change. I'm not playing in the NFL and I'm not playing in Major League Baseball. It's not happening. Okay? Genetics affect that, folks. So there are some decisions. What God has made us in our physical capacities is a factor in the decisions we make. Sometimes those genetic factors make decisions easy for us. Sometimes those genetic factors make them hard for us. But it is a part of the equation. Okay, we can't just throw it out. Okay, because sometimes of everybody in the world who ought to be realistic, it ought to be believers. We're not saying we can't trust God for the impossible. We can't. But we're also supposed to be able to see things the way they really are and not live in sugar-coated places that are denying reality. Because whenever we do that, we are a laughingstock to the secular world. Do you understand that? If we act like things aren't the way they are, they're looking at us and they're writing us off. They're writing off the gospel because they're saying you can't even see reality for the way it is. Now, it's one thing to say this is the way it is and I believe God. Okay, God can do something in this. But to say this doesn't exist and God's just going to take it. Okay, come on now, folks. Like we talk about, it's not like go to the mountain, get the sheets, and wait for the next thing. That's a denial of reality. Does that make sense? We've got to see things the way they are. One of those things is determined by who we are, how we're built, all that stuff. Okay? Sometimes that even affects psychological capabilities, emotional capabilities. It's all a factor of how we make decisions. So that's one thing we can't ignore. Number two, who God allowed us to be around and grow up with. Our family, our faith community, our traditions, our heritage, all those words that you might use to talk about those that influence us, that shape us. That is going to be something that has an impact on our character, our Christ-like character when we're in Christ, and therefore our decision-making filter. We know Grandma Jones. Grandma Jones loved me. She did so much for me. And because Grandma Jones did this, and value this, I believe it's a value I need to have, and by obtaining that value and believing in that value because Grandma Jones did, then it shapes my decision-making filter because I think Grandma Jones would never do that. And if I did that, Grandma Jones would snatch me up and, you know, you get the idea. Okay? That's part of shaping our decision-making filter. Okay? Three, obviously, foundationally, bottom line, you can't have a Christ-like character without Christ. You've got to have an active relationship with God. You've got to be trusting God. You've got to be seeking God. You've got to want to please God. All that is a part of that. So the work of the Holy Spirit, the place of the Bible, it's going to be central to shaping the decision-making filter. We make the decisions we do because of the filter that's shaped in our lives. And again, the filter that I have now is different from the filter that I had 20 years ago. Maybe the filter that I had 5 years ago. Maybe the filter I had 5 months ago. Not because God's changed, but I have. Hopefully, in my understanding and my relationship with God. So my filter changes. Things I may once have been very legalistic about 35 years ago when I was a young Christian, maybe I'm less legalistic about now. Not to say that I have a different conviction, but the way I bear and live that conviction out may be very different. So the way I make decisions, although I might make the same decision, why I make the decision may be very different. Does that make sense? Next one. Experience. I've said, okay, God, I'm out of my league. I have no control here. I have to trust you. And God comes through. And so my experience now tells me I can trust God. Or I've seen the life of someone that I know and care for, and even though God did not snatch them out of the fire, He was with them, and there was evidence that God was with them as they went through whatever they went through. So now I trust God more, and I know that if that happens to me, and that decision that has to be made, I can make that decision because I've seen it in their life. So experience, mine and those that I've lived around, also shapes my decision-making filter. Your decision-making filter. Okay? It works good and it works bad. Okay? All right, so do you understand these four factors? These four things that shape our decision-making filter. Who we are in Jesus Christ. These things come to bear upon this. So when you consider how all these factors have influenced your character, you could say that in a way they create this filter. Maybe it creates even part of your conscience. But the issue is you're never passive. And I'm never passive in the process. We are always cooperating. God is doing this work in us. Because it's He who works and wills in us when we submit ourselves to Him and we desire to grow like to be like Jesus, which we know is the highest good that He has for us. It's not that we are cool today in church. It's not that we have everything we want to eat. It's not that we even have a roof over our head. It's that we become more like Jesus Christ. So in this endeavor, we are cooperating. As He does this work and He shapes this filter, we have to cooperate in this process. We're not able to say, God, come make my decision-making filter perfect. Just do it. It's not the way it works. It's like praying for patience. It doesn't just presto, bing. Now you have patience. No, usually it means we're going to go through some trial before we get some patience. All right, so we cooperate. And then I think there's one more statement on the bottom of that. So the principle is this. You and I can come to a point where if we're honest, if we are growing in our decision-making filter and we have a Christ-like character, the truth is that we need to understand, we need to make the decision before we have to make the decision. And in fact, that is the way it is. If we are trusting God, we are believing God, we've seen how He works, we understand, then our filter to this point, we can find that truthfully, most of the decisions that you and I are going to have to make are already made. The really important ones. They're already made. Now, I'm going to give you an example, and you don't have to necessarily like my example or agree with my example. I understand. I'm cool with that. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. Okay? I don't drink alcohol. There's a reason why I don't drink alcohol. It's not because I'm trying to be legalistic. Because I believe Christians are free to drink alcohol, not be drunk, because the Bible says you shouldn't be drunk, period. But there's a lot of people who drink alcohol in the Bible. I'm free to do it. But just like my 20-year-old daughter who all of a sudden thinks, I'm going to be free to do all this stuff when I turn 21. Doesn't mean that you're supposed to do all that stuff. Just because you can. There's a higher rule if you read your Bible at stake. The higher rule is, don't you never, use poor grammar intentionally, do anything to make a weaker brother stumble, weaker sister stumble. don't do it. So for me, it's so much easier in my life because I don't like the stuff anyway. Okay? To just say, I don't have to worry about it. It doesn't even have to be a factor. So for me, I just don't do it because I don't have to worry about it. But if I were to go find somebody that I loved and cared for, I know they're struggling with a dependency issue, and I said, well, come on, let's go to a restaurant where I know there's alcohol, I am doing the exact opposite of what Scripture tells me. No matter how I color it, no matter how I paint it. Okay. So my decision for me is already made. The higher principle is don't make your brother stumble. So I just don't do it. Because I know at least in that area I may screw up in others and make somebody stumble, but at least I know that that decision's already taken care of. Now, that's just an illustration. I don't have to worry about it. Okay, you see where I'm going with that decision? I'm not saying it's bad, bad, bad. What I'm saying is there's something that I need to do that's higher, and so I've decided I won't do that because the Bible tells me that's the wiser thing to do. So that's the choice I make ahead of time. And that's what you and I need to understand. We can make a choice ahead of time. It's a decision. It's already made. And life's so much easier. Not because I have this Pollyannish view of the world or a legalistic view of the world that says you're bad, bad, bad if you do it. No, that's not where I'm going. You understand? Okay? All right. So, Christ-like character, the decision filter, that's very important. It is the foundation upon which every decision we make passes, and almost 90% of them are already made in the Christ-like character that's growing. And again, if I'm going to be more like Jesus, it's possible that if I'm more like Jesus as I should be in the next 5 years, there may be even more things I don't even have to worry about as I become more like Jesus. Because I just know that if I listen to Scripture and I follow God and love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, love my neighbor as myself, that it's going to already be cared. Decision's already made. Don't even have to worry about it. All right. That's number one. Let's see. A couple of passages I want to look at. There's an important principle that we've talked about. Decisions can be made ahead of time. Here's a couple of things that I want to talk about. Oh, and here's a statement that I really want to share with you before we get there. If you wait to make an important decision when you're in the heat of the moment, you'll probably end up getting burned. You wait to the heat of the moment to make a decision, you will get burned. Ephesians 6:13. Paul said, be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. I love how Peterson did that in the Message. Okay, we don't have to go, oh, maybe I won't have to make this decision. I'll just go through life acting like I'll never have to make this decision. And then when the heat's on and you get burned, you realize, I wish I had made that decision before I made the decision. That's the whole idea of being prepared, isn't it? Next passage. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. Again from the Message. Peter said, keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. If you're not already certain about certain decisions, then whenever the heat comes, you'll realize who's behind the heat. Especially when you get burned. The temptation is not evil. Remember that? Being tempted is not evil. Experiencing temptation is not evil. It's the choice to give in to it that is sinful. Christ-like character. Are you seeing how all this is fitting? Why this is so important? So if you have a flaw in your filter, what's going to happen? You're going to have troubles making a particular decision, right? Maybe not every decision, but guess what? The enemy knows where your flaws are because he's observant. And he's going to tempt you and challenge you and me in the areas where he sees the flaws in our filter. The good news is God is gracious and merciful, forgiving and good, and He gives us chances to learn from our failures. So when we do get tempted, and if we do give in, and we sin, and we make a bad decision, then we can learn from that because He forgives us. 1 John 1:9. All right, number two. Truth is, the second element is faith, and that is that God is at work in our lives. A couple of passages show us that Israel had this understanding that God had been working in His people, among His people, and in the lives of individuals. He always had. And the one thing we ought to remember is the lessons of that experience that we were talking about. And this is collectively and individually. So, 1 Chronicles 16, 8 through 12, NIV, the writer says, "Give thanks to the Lord and call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He pronounced." So what is this person doing as they are, as the writer of Chronicles is recording this? What is it that they're doing here? Yeah, Stephen. A strategy. And that strategy is what?
Remember from your experiences what you learned?
Remember. How has God worked? What has He done? What's He been doing? Don't forget. So whenever you and I come up against these situations where we have to make decisions, we have to remind ourselves sometimes it's not in a vacuum. It's not like this is the first time that anybody's ever had to make this decision, or that anybody's made the right decision, or that anybody's made the wrong decision. But what we need to focus on is when God's been at work and He's demonstrated His approval and His blessing and His power in this kind of situation. What did He do? How has He worked? What's He, you know, it's not set aside and separate from all the rest of human history. Now, truthfully, it's hard for us to teach teenagers that, because they don't see the world as a continuum. They see the world as the bubble around them. But see, as we become more like Jesus, and we begin to get a bigger perspective of our experience and human history, and we begin to understand it's not about us, it's not about me, it's about God's plan and His purpose in the world, then that that perspective grows and we understand there's a history that we can look back to and we can see the positive way that God has been at work, and what that does is it grows our faith and our trust. So we keep our fingers in the pages where we need to remember what He's done and how He's worked. All right, put that second passage up there, John. This one is Psalm 77. Here the psalmist writes, "Once again I'll go over what God has done." Again, this is Peterson's Message version. "Lay out on the table the ancient wonders. I'll ponder all the things you've accomplished and give a long, loving look at your acts. Oh God, your way is holy. No God is great like God. You're the God who makes things happen. You showed everyone what you can do. You pulled your people out of the worst kind of trouble, rescued the children of Jacob and Joseph. Oceans saw you in action. God saw you and trembled with fear. Deep ocean was scared to death. Clouds belched buckets of rain. Sky exploded with thunder. Your arrows flashing this way and that. From whirlwind came your thundering voice. Lightning exposed the world. Earth reeled and rocked. You strode right through the ocean, walked straight through the roaring ocean, but nobody saw you come or go. Hidden in the hands of Moses and Aaron, you led your people like a flock of sheep." That's a lot of power. So as you see all these things, you hear all these things that the psalmist said that God had done, what do you think the effect of remembering all those great things would be every time you came to an important decision? Yes. Trust, firmness, certainty. It's not maybe God's way is best. It's yes. When I know clearly what God's way is, I will trust it because He's demonstrated it over and over and over again. So faith. So let me ask you this. Can you remember how God moved in your life yesterday? What did He show you about yourself, about Himself, about the world, about what's true? Was there a time yesterday when you went, "Oh, I get it. I understand this better now"? Or even when you just had questions and you still want to know, that's okay too. Did you receive what you needed? The discernment, the wisdom, the revelation, whatever it was that you needed. Truth is, I believe, that God is at work in your life, He's at work in my life. And from His grace that pursued you and me before we even accepted Jesus, He's been at work. And if you and I want to make great decisions, God's eyes decisions, then you and I have to see all the fingerprints on our lives and on the people that we know, and then bigger on history, and it goes out and out. We begin to see those fingerprints and we trust those fingerprints, then the faith that we have is very important in making great decisions. So we've got to be sure. And it's, anyway. All right, let me pause before I go any further. Is there anything churning that you need to say, or that you, or anything? Responses, thoughts? I know I've left much less time for you to talk today than I usually do. Why the Christ-like character and faith go hand in hand. Because what we know for sure is sort of built in that filter of the Christ-like character. And then the second part of the process equation is faith, that we know that God is going to do what He has said. And He has said, if you'll do this the way I tell you, you'll trust me and you'll find that it was the best. Doesn't always feel that way, but it is. And the reason it doesn't feel that way is because we've got the it's about me thing going. If we would remember it's not about me, then we could live that way, then we'll see sometimes that it is the best. But that's what we struggle with. That's our flesh. All right. Third thing. Third element. I got to get this quick. And that is, we've got to have a determination to stick to what God has shown us. I'm calling it the plan, but it's not our plan. It's God's plan. It's what He's established. It's what He's revealed. It's what He's shown us about the decision that we have to make many times beforehand. Okay? All right. Everybody remember, think about Psalm 139. It's the one that we quote that talks about God knowing us from our mother's womb, even in our mother's womb. Okay? I'm not going to read the whole Psalm, but I just want to put that in your mind. That's kind of the grounding for where I'm going with this. God has given us certain things that are a part of our decision-making matrix. And I want to share those with you. Here are the four things that we need to remember. Number one, we got to remember our mission. Okay, what is our mission? Okay, Great Commission. Okay, as you are going, teach, preach, baptize, right? In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, we know that. That's our mission. Okay, remember our mission. Number two, remember the process. You've heard us talk about this before, haven't referred to it lately, but a guy named Henry Blackaby, who wrote The Experience in God Materials and incorporated a really good idea in there that I think is very scriptural, if you reflect on it. And that is the idea of spiritual markers. That if you can look at places and times in your life where God has revealed certain things to you and done certain things in your life that were demonstrably Him, that you can almost like chart the course on the ocean. And you can kind of see the trajectory that He's leading you in. And you can kind of get an idea for where you've come from and generally where you're going. Now, it doesn't mean that you necessarily are going to get specifics for the next thing, but understanding how He has worked, understanding what He's doing, the marking points in your life where God's shown up and talked to you or rescued you or saved you or changed you, that you can begin to see how those things work and you can kind of get a trajectory out of it. Okay? That is your process, the journey that you've lived. You've made decisions when you've made good decisions, when you've made bad decisions, but the trajectory of how God has interacted with you along that process and that journey. Three is remembering your absolutes. Things like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? The great commandment. That is an absolute. There's nothing in Scripture that would even come close to controverting that. In fact, Jesus said, this is one you can take to the bank. You can live this one and you can be sure that nothing in Scripture, nothing in anybody's legalism is ever going to come into conflict with this. Period. Ever. Nothing will ever trump it. Nothing will ever confuse it. Ever. So whatever your absolutes are that you see revealed in Scripture, that's very important and to hold tightly to. And the last one is that element of who you have been made, who you seem to have been made to be. Again, it's a mixture of a lot of things. It could be how what God gave you from birth. It could be abilities that you've gathered all along. But now, spiritually, what are your gifts? Because He'll gift you for a point in time to do what He wants you to do in His kingdom. and your gifts, contrary to a lot of teaching, I don't think are scriptural. Gifts are not static. They are dynamic. And if there's a need in the people of God, He will gift somebody with that gift so that they can share it with His people and grow His kingdom. As opposed to the, well, I have the gift of prophecy, so I can just sit over here and tell y'all what you're doing wrong. Because I have the gift of prophecy. All they want to do is boss people around and pummel them with what they think God is saying. And, you know, that's not, right? Remember your gifts. So your mission, process, absolutes, and gifts are very important whenever you and I are trying to be determined to follow through with what God has shown us we ought to do. Okay, so we've got our funnel, our filter, which is our Christ-like character. We've got our faith, where we've looked at how God has done things in others and in us, and that gives us encouragement and hope. And then we've got the determination to stick with what He shows us, whenever He shows us. Okay. Again, this is not pizza before dinner. I mean, a pizza before going to bed. And then we wake up and say, oh, God must be showing me this. Okay, we're talking about stuff that God has revealed and is clear and has proven is inconsistent with what He's done in our spiritual journey, with His world, with His Word, and all of that. Okay? Yes, I agree with it. I what you've said. And the truth is, honestly, if we get down to it, those decisions that really give us the conundrum effect, we don't know what to do, it's really only about 10%. Everything else, we really know. And we act like it's all these decisions. No, it's just the ones that are hard. It's the 10% on the top are the ones that wear us out. Sometimes, though, we can choose, unfortunately, to let the other 90% get us. Because we're still not where we need to be with our Christ-like character many times, and our filter's got a flaw. And then God does something, we let Him work, He shows us, He corrects us, and we get a little bit more like Jesus. If I go back to Romans 8:28, and in that case He was talking about persecutions and mistreatment of believers. And He's saying that He can take that and make all things work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. If He can do that with that, He can do it with my bad decisions. Because sometimes a bad decision is just hastiness. Sometimes a bad decision is carnality. I don't know. It depends on the situation and all of us and what we face. But He's still good enough, and He loves us enough to help us to learn the lesson. All right, is this making sense? All right, well, we'll talk a little bit more about this kind of stuff next Sunday. Let's bow. Father, every one of us want to make decisions that please You. Lord, help us to trust You. Help us to grow in our relationship with You so that, Lord, when we encounter many decisions, we understand that really the decision's already made. But, Lord, in those where we are really not sure, we really don't know, help us to learn the lessons that these things still apply. That, Lord, we can look at Your journey with us. That we can look at how You've been working in our lives and what You've done in the past. And Lord, that we can see that there is a direction, and that direction can affect what we choose. Lord, help us to trust You no matter what You say, no matter whether we like it or not. Let us be content with You. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.